noted a seemingly small decision from the Federal Reserve, I mean, just a 25 basis point rate cut, lead to this immediate, really powerful, bullish reaction in Bitcoin.
Yeah, and not just a reaction, but one that set the stage for one of the most critical technical patterns we've seen form all quarter.
That's the core puzzle we're starting with today. And the implications, they ripple far beyond just the crypto charts.
It's all about expectation management, you know, and technical
translation, and really market psychology. Welcome back, everybody.
We are sifting through a massive stack of source material today, a real-time snapshot of the market analysis
that's defining the current crypto landscape.
We've got a fantastic stack of notes today, and we're going to be diving deep into the movements, the mechanics of the movement, not just the price.
Okay, so our mission today seems pretty clear.
It is. We need to navigate the very latest crypto market signals. We're hunting for macro drivers, for sure, because they set the field, but we're also trying to identify those subtle signs of short-term liquidity plays. You know, the engineered volatility that can just wipe out unwary traders in minutes.
And then we're going to finish by examining a really compelling market outlier.
Yeah, an asset that a lot of people are using as a defensive hedge right now, and what that tells us about investor psychology.
Okay, so here's the roadmap. We'll start with Bitcoin's recent dance with the traditional macro economy.
Especially that FED reaction.
Exactly. And the deep structure of the
technical pattern it created. Then we're going to unpack the almost unbelievable synchronous movements of LNA2 and ICP.
That is a story of sophisticated market
makers and highly coordinated action that's just designed to extract capital.
And finally, we turn our attention to Zcash, or ZEZ, the asset that's behaving entirely differently from the pack.
And why that strength might be rooted more deeply in a complex mix of privacy utility and the psychological demand for market recovery.
Let's jump right in.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Starting with Bitcoin and the macro, our sources highlight a specific market-moving event.
The Federal Reserve announced a 25 basis points, that's 25 BPS rate cut on December 10th.
And the reaction, it wasn't slow, it wasn't tentative at all. It was immediate and really dramatic.
What's fascinating here is the immediate effect and the magnitude. Bitcoin showed an almost reflexive strength. It printed a powerful, full-bodied,
bullish candle right after that news release.
It wasn't a slow build over hours or anything.
No, it was an instant market statement that signaled an aggressive risk appetite just flooded back into the system.
And this rapid, immediate response, it became a major crypto news highlight. Because, quite frankly, it signaled a profound shift in perception.
It did. The market, the overall sentiment, was far more receptive to central bank easing than a lot of analysts had initially anticipated.
It really confirmed the idea that even a modest loosening of monetary policy provides immediate justification for high-risk assets like Bitcoin to just rally hard.
That's the critical piece of context we need to dig into. The market wasn't just reacting to the 25 BPS cut itself, right? It was reacting to the implication of the Federal Reserve's forward guidance. This cut, even if it was small, suggested the central bank was aware of and maybe responsive to cooling economic data.
So it eased that immediate fear of a continued protracted tightening cycle.
Exactly. But we have to remember the context that keeps the pressure on, which is the outlook for further cuts scheduled for 2026
still remains pretty uncertain.
So we're not in an explicit, full-blown easing cycle yet.
Not at all. We have a single data point. The positive reaction suggests the market welcomed this cut.
But the longer narrative about global economic stability is far from resolved.
And this connection between traditional finance,
yeah,
you know, the world of rate decisions, treasury yield, the dollar index, and crypto sentiment is absolutely crucial.
It proves, without a doubt, that Bitcoin's price discovery is now macro-sensitive. It's reacting powerfully to global monetary policy shifts, acting essentially as a high beta thermometer for liquidity.
So the macro stage is set, the FED fires the starting gun, and Bitcoin takes off. But what about the technical picture it is created by absorbing all that immediate demand?
This is where our sources introduce an important, highly visible pattern, the ascending triangle.
This is where it gets really interesting for more sophisticated traders.
It is. Bitcoin is currently forming what analysts describe as a textbook ascending triangle pattern across the daily and 4-hour charts.
Okay, so let's define this simply for you.
This means two things are happening at the same time.
Right. First, we have a clearly defined horizontal resistance level, which is like a ceiling. And then underneath that ceiling,
we're seeing a series of consistently higher lows.
So that structure, it means the buyers are stepping in earlier and earlier at each minor dip.
Yeah, they're preventing the price from dropping back down to previous lower support levels. The consistent demand is just consuming the available liquidity at increasingly higher prices.
It's exactly like a compressed spring, right?
That's the perfect analogy.
You have this flat ceiling of resistance, the same price point BTC keeps hitting, maybe failing a little, but always coming back to it.
But underneath, the pressure is constantly building because that floor of demand is perpetually rising. It's a dynamic of supply absorption.
Precisely. That upward pressure, that continual commitment from buyers at higher prices, it generally sets the stage for a significant breakout move.
Right, the resistance line becomes thinner and more stressed with every single tap.
But for this to be a textbook pattern, we also need to confirm the validity of those trend lines.
That's a great point. The resistance line has to have been touched and rejected at least 3 times, and the ascending
support line also needs to show multiple clear reversals. The longer the pattern holds, the more volatile the eventual breakout is going to be.
Speaking of volatility, we can actually project a minimum target for this structure, which is vital for any kind of risk planning.
Yes. Analysts look at the maximum height of the triangle, so the vertical distance between the first high and the first low, and they project that distance upward from the point of the breakout.
And that gives us a theoretical measured move target.
Yeah. And if we look at the charts, that measured move could potentially take Bitcoin into a range that dramatically exceeds the current resistance ceiling.
Which would confirm the institutional commitment to this pattern.
Absolutely.
So let's look at the trading strategy scenarios that are sort of inherent in this pattern.
Right.
First, the desired outcome, the bullish breakout.
This is where we can see a cascade effect.
Scenario one is the ideal one for the bulls and for the market
as a whole because it unlocks liquidity.
Right. If Bitcoin can decisively break above that defined resistance zone, let's just call it X, and this is the key component.
It has to be with solid confirming trading volume.
If that happens, the ascending triangle pattern will confirm.
And this isn't just a small move. Confirming this type of technical structure opens the door for significant further upside potential.
Why is that?
Because the price move immediately begins liquidating the shorts.
The traders who have been aggressively betting against that ceiling.
Exactly, often using high leverage. They're forced buying to cover their positions as powerful fuel to that breakout candle.
Okay, and what about the less optimistic scenario? Because sophisticated traders have to always plan for failure, the bearish retest.
Of course. If the price gets rejected at resistance again, maybe the volume just wasn't there to sustain the initial move, or the selling pressure at the top was too heavy.
The BTC will likely pull back.
It will. And the immediate goal of that pullback would be to
retest that rising trend line, the base of the triangle, to gather more buying momentum.
So the market uses that retest as a sort of second chance to load up.
It can. But sometimes
a failed breakout followed by a trend line break is actually a sign of a larger trend reversal. It can turn the whole pattern into a complex distribution area.
So traders have to watch really closely if the price not only retests the trend line, but breaks below the rising support.
Because that would invalidate the pattern entirely.
And this volatility around those key levels is exactly what sophisticated trading strategies have to incorporate.
You have to. You have to plan for both the immediate liftoff and the necessary refueling stop. Recognizing that the difference between the two is often measured in the conviction of the buyers.
And that's evidenced by volume.
Always volume. Traders have to anticipate this. You're looking at a compressed range where volatility is highest right before the decision point, and the market often tries to fake out movement before the true breakout.
Right, those false breakouts. They often happen on low volume and lure in retail traders, only to snap back quickly and trap them.
Precisely.
So the crucial requirement here is volume, right? If Bitcoin breaks above resistance during, say, the Asian session, when typical volume is lower.
What does that mean for the reliability of the ascending triangle confirmation?
A low volume breakout is highly suspect. It usually signals a lack of conviction and leads to a quick retest or outright failure.
Now we shift gears completely. We're moving away from macro policy drivers and into the microscopic mechanics of highly coordinated trading.
Specifically, looking at the bizarre synchronicity between Luna 2 and ICP.
This is where we leave fundamental analysis behind and really focus purely on market engineering.
Yeah, our sources highlight a very specific and frankly concerning observation. Luna 2 and ICP charts have been moving almost identically for weeks.
And it's not just the direction, right? It's the fine-grained structure of their price action.
The shape of their bounces, the size of their wicks, and crucially, the substance subsequent sudden sharp spikes followed by aggressive selling. They are mirror images of technical activity.
The implication of this high degree of synchronicity is, well, it's powerful and pretty disturbing.
It strongly suggests that both assets are being influenced, or maybe even controlled, by the exact same market-making group, or MM, operating behind the scenes.
So they're using highly sophisticated algorithms to manage liquidity and execute identical strategies across both tokens at the same time.
That kind of coordinated movement across two distinct assets, often separated in terms of utility, community, core tech. I mean, the original Illinois ecosystem fallout and the internet computer are very different things.
It just screams centralized control.
It does. They aren't just reacting to the same macro news. They're executing the same precise technical program, and it's designed to maximize capital extraction.
And this brings us to defining the nature of these moves. Short-term liquidity plays. This is not organic accumulation at all.
No, this is hunting.
Characterize these moves for us again. What does that signature look like on the chart that makes it so suspicious?
They are sharp, violent, counter-trend spikes that get sold off immediately and aggressively.
They are specifically designed to be traps.
So they're engineered volatility events.
And they often happen outside of peak trading hours to catch traders off guard.
So let's define the
complex mechanics of a liquidity play in this context, moving past the surface level definition.
A liquidity play is when a large player, in this case, this coordinated market maker, group drives price briefly and aggressively, maybe only for minutes or hours.
And they use significant capital to do it.
A lot of capital. They do this for one of two main reasons. First, they want to trigger the stop losses of existing short sellers.
Okay, so these stop losses are often clustered just above a known resistance level.
And they're essentially just buy orders. So by hitting those stops, the MM forces short sellers to buy back at a high price, adding powerful momentum to the spike.
And the second reason?
To attract new retail interest. The classic FOMO crowd, you know, who look at the parabolic green candle and think they're catching the start of a massive organic rally.
And then the market maker just quietly and systematically sells
their accumulated tokens into that generated retail demand,
profiting massively on the rapid price reversal and leaving retail buyers holding the bag at the peak.
The sophistication here is immense.
I mean, the market maker isn't just buying.
No, they might be using tactics like spoofing, placing massive fake buy orders on one side of the book to push the price up, and then canceling those orders instantly before execution, only to execute the real selling orders on the way down.
Whoa. Imagine the computational power needed for a group to coordinate these sudden spikes across two different globally traded assets, timing the liquidity grab perfectly, ensuring both charts maintain this eerie synchronicity across multiple exchanges.
That's complex, highly sophisticated, and it requires specialized tools.
It speaks to the fact that these MMs view these assets as just pure trading instruments.
Completely divorced from their underlying utility, yeah. That's a true moment of wonder, seeing that
level of mechanical efficiency deployed for extraction?
It takes immense resources and highly resilient algorithms.
It does, but it's a necessary tactic for these entities to efficiently extract capital
from the market. They're looking for inefficiency, and in these lower liquidity assets, they create that inefficiency themselves by dictating supply and demand for brief periods.
And speaking of creating visual signals that warn sophisticated traders, the sources highlight a vivid analogy we need to discuss. The Christmas tree pattern.
This is the critical warning sign for Lunae 2 right now, and it's why we bring up ICP.
Because Lunae 2's recent rally looks suspiciously similar, structurally and temporally, to the move ICP made just before it was violently slammed down.
Exactly. ICP completed the structure, and now Lunae 2 appears to be tracing the exact same template. It's almost like a scheduled replication.
Explain the visual analogy for the listener. What defines a full Christmas tree pattern, and why is it's a reliable warning sign?
It's a rapid, symmetrical price action, and the symmetry is key. You get a steep
parabolic spike up, that's the tree rising on the left side, attracting all the attention.
And then it's followed immediately by an equally steep, violent drone.
Returning the price straight back to its base level, it often happens
in a single prolonged candle on the daily chart, or a quick sequence of massive candles on lower time frames.
And it leaves behind this long symmetrical price wick.
A ghost of the rally that evaporates all the retail gains instantly. It's the market equivalent of a classic pump and dump, just executed with algorithmic precision.
So what's the immediate scenario this implies for Olana 2 traders who are watching this pattern unfold?
This opens the door for a final aggressive rally in Lunae 2. That last maybe 10 or 15% push to grab any remaining liquidity that's trapped just above current resistance levels.
So they need to squeeze out the last bit of fuel.
They do. Maybe catching one more layer of stop losses or attracting a final wave of retail FOMO before the expected violent drop that completes the tree.
This is a crucial warning, then. For anyone considering a trading strategy around this, even if it signals a potential short-term rally opportunity.
The risk of a rapid sell-off back to the base level, the slam down, remains extremely high. You're trading against a coordinated, professional entity that has already demonstrated its playbook on a system asset.
So caution is essential, and trade sizes should be minimal if you attempt it at all.
It's not an accident. It's a replicable high-frequency strategy. And the fact that they've already run the play on ICP makes Illuminate 2 look like a highly predictable target for replication.
Providing an early warning signal for those paying attention to cross-asset correlation. That's right. But couldn't this synchronicity simply be due to the fact that both are mid-to-low cap altcoins that often attract the same type of speculative, momentum-driven retail investment when Bitcoin stalls?
While retail momentum is a factor, the mirror image price structure, right down to the shape of the wicks, is too precise to be purely coincidental retail sentiment.
Now, we pivot to an entirely different story that shows the power of psychological demand overriding market trends.
We've talked about macro sensitivity with Bitcoin and
active manipulation with Illuminate 2 and ICP. Zcash, ZEC, is the complete outlier here.
It is consistently presented in our sources as an asset that is successfully moving
against the broader market flow.
Defying the range-bound stagnation that characterizes so much of the altcoin space right now.
And look at the investor perception surrounding it, which is really the key driver. Many investors continue to treat ZEC as a hedge.
A crucial countercyclical tool to preserve capital and ideally squeeze out meaningful returns during what is, for almost every other asset, a dull, stagnant, and often frustrating environment.
Yeah, it's seen as a place to park capital where it can actually grow, not just tread water.
Exactly.
You know, I still wrestle with trusting assets that completely decouple from the primary market trends like this. It feels counterintuitive when the rest of the market is sluggish or range-bound.
Mm-hmm.
You'd expect the high tides to lift all boats, but ZEC seems to be paddling its own canoe successfully. And that skepticism is a real psychological hurdle for many traders, myself included.
It feels like you're missing something.
Yeah, or perhaps entering a riskier environment,
precisely because it's not following the crowd. That skepticism is a vulnerable admission, but it's important to acknowledge that feeling of cognitive dissonance.
But that decoupling is precisely
its strength in this current context. It's perceived as a safe harbor against volatility and against regulatory uncertainty given its privacy focus.
And that strong psychological perception has a technical backing that confirms the presence of conviction buyers.
Let's look at that technical confirmation of this persistent buying interest. The sources highlight a specific chart detail that speaks volumes about market commitment.
VEC recently retested the major $314 support level.
And it didn't just touch it. It bounced cleanly, emphatically. A clean, quick bounce off a significant psychological and technical support level is one of the most powerful bullish indicators you can see.
It strongly suggests that established buying interest and demand remain firmly present at that key technical price level.
Traders see $314 not just as a line on a chart, but as a major structural floor. And buyers are actively, aggressively defending it with deep order books.
We should probably note that $314 isn't just an arbitrary number. Our analysis suggests that this level represents a confluence of factors.
It was a significant swing high from a previous smaller rally, and more importantly, it likely represents a major area of accumulated liquidation levels for long-term holders.
So when buyers step in cleanly at that specific point, it shows they're preserving the structural integrity of the recent bullish move.
Right, but this isn't just about lines on a chart, is it? We have to look at the deep-seated psychology that's driving this persistent demand in an otherwise dull market.
Absolutely. Part of this intense interest stems from a deep-seated desire among investors for recovery.
They're clinging to the idea that ZEC can help them recover losses incurred during previous downturns, a period when almost every other asset feels lifeless or unable to generate meaningful gains.
It's psychologically positioned as a recovery token, a beacon of hope
in a sea of red or sideways trading.
And that recovery narrative surrounding ZEC is actually self-reinforcing. It's coming up repeatedly across the latest crypto news, which in turn
influences investor sentiment and reinforces the buying pressure.
So the more people talk about it as a successful hedge and a recovery vehicle, the more capital flows in, making it stronger.
It's a powerful self-fulfilling prophecy of sustained strength, built not just on its technical merit, but on a universal investor yearning to make back losses.
And we can't forget its fundamental identity and the role that plays in its resilience.
Yeah, the rise of privacy-focused assets has been a recurring major thematic trend in recent market analysis, particularly as regulatory scrutiny increases globally and surveillance concerns grow.
So it's not just a hedge against a dull market, it's potentially a long-term thematic play against increasing regulatory centralization and data tracking.
Which gives it a unique two-pronged appeal, short-term trading potential in a stagnant environment, and long-term thematic relevance.
Precisely. And ZEC's
performance speaks volumes to this thematic strength. It's one of the few tokens consistently staying green since Bitcoin topped out at the $126,000 high.
That kind of sustained outperformance
over a long period relative strength demands attention from institutional and sophisticated retail money managers. They are looking for assets that exhibit low correlation and high conviction.
So for the one trying to build a resilient strategy that doesn't rely solely on Bitcoin's immediate direction, what does ZCash tell us?
The source notes that if you're building a strategy around strong outliers, ZEC requires very close attention. Because of the sustained strength and the clean defense of that major support level.
Major reversal.
Yeah, potentially to the upside, triggering a true parabolic move could be approaching sooner than many people expect. Its consolidation around $314 is less about weakness and more about coiled defensive energy being accumulated by conviction buyers.
Given the strong psychological component, the need for a hedge against
market stagnation, how does investor behavior change if the broader crypto market suddenly becomes robustly bullish again, perhaps driven by that Bitcoin breakout we just discussed?
If main assets rally strongly,
the need for the ZEC hedge narrative may erode quickly, potentially reducing its outlier status and leading to profit-taking.
The moment Bitcoin breaks that ascending triangle decisively and confirms the bullish scenario, ZCash's unique appeal as a solitary safe haven might dissipate.
As capital rotates back into higher beta blue chips, that's the fundamental tension defining ZEC's future price action.
This has been a fascinating and incredibly detailed journey across three very different yet interconnected market segments. Let's review the three key themes we've distilled from these sources today. We started at the top, analyzing the macro landscape. We saw how external events, specifically the small FED rate cut, still drive short-term price action, even in decentralized assets like Bitcoin.
Which printed that immediate high conviction bullish candle. The ascending triangle that followed
is the technical result of that fundamental shift in risk appetite toward liquidity.
Second, we saw definitive evidence of active, highly synchronized control.
The mirror image movements in assets
like Luna and A2 and ICP highlight the constant influence of large coordinated liquidity plays by market makers.
That Christmas tree warning, which we broke down in detail, is a powerful lesson in distinguishing organic accumulation from engineered volatility,
which is designed purely to trap retail capital.
And third, we drilled deep into market psychology and structural resilience. In dull, range-bound markets, psychological drivers like the deep-seated desire for recovery and a defensive hedge create powerful and sustained outlier trends that defy the broader market direction.
The clean defense of the $314 level in ZCash is more than just a number. It's a psychological anchor for conviction buyers who believe in its thematic strength.
So if we connect the dots across all three Bitcoin, LN80 to ICP and ZEC,
what kind of complex layered market are we seeing right now?
We are seeing a market defined by high macro sensitivity at the very top layer, constant coordinated technical pressure and traps
in the middle layer, and deep conviction-driven psychological hedging behavior at the periphery.
It's complex, layered, and full of both hidden traps and potential gems.
Depending on how closely you analyze volume and structural integrity.
Our takeaway for you, the learner, is to use these specific patterns. The Bitcoin ascending triangle, the market maker liquidity spikes in low in A2, and the clean $314 support bounce in ZCash's tools.
They are the essential vocabulary of market dynamics right now. Study them, observe the volume required for confirmation, and understand the intent behind the move.
Whether it's macro-driven risk appetite or coordinated extraction.
That's how you move from merely reacting to the market to truly anticipating the next significant structural shift.
And finally, a provocative thought for you to carry forward, building on our analysis of ZCash's unique position.
Mm-hmm.
We established that ZCash is successfully acting as a capital preservation hedge now
because of its outlier status and, crucially, its privacy focus. What happens to ZEC's fundamental privacy asset premium if broader regulatory
scrutiny, maybe following a major visibility-raising breakout, forces it into the mainstream spotlight?
Demanding transparency and compliance measures that might compromise its core utility.
Exactly. Can Zcash maintain its value proposition if it's forced to sacrifice the very thing that makes it a unique hedge? That's something to consider exploring as you watch this privacy-focused space evolve.
That's a critical question for any asset whose primary value proposition is regulatory avoidance or privacy protection.
Absolutely. Thank you for bringing us this phenomenal stack of sources for this deep dive into the crypto market structure today.
It was